What a blessing it is to get to be here this morning. And there's maybe a few kinds of folks that's here, and I've got grace for everybody. There's the kind of folk that don't understand what's going on. I understand. You don't know what you don't know. I understand that. You can't know what you don't know. And there are those that they see it, and it's funny to them. They mock at it. But for us that know the Lord, but for us that know God, there wasn't nothing funny happening. There wasn't nothing out of order happening. But the God of heaven just let us peek into glory for a minute. See what it is for somebody to not care what you think, but just want to worship God. And there's something about it in this generation where we feel like everybody's got a Facebook profile and an Instagram profile, and everybody's trying to put on for something to see somebody not care what anybody thinks but the Lord, to see how special it is. Oh, that helps me. Helps me, it helps me, it helps me. Helps me to see that 84 years later, they're still excited about what God's doing. Oh, help me. I don't even know if I can preach this morning. My heart's overwhelmed. Well, that helped me. Thank God. Help me. Got your Bible. Let's open up Book of Habakkuk. Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Man, what a blessing. You find that place you're able, let's stand together. Habakkuk chapter number 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I tell you, I can go home right now and say it's been mighty good to be here today. Not feel like I got shortchanged or nothing else. Feel like the presence of God's been here all morning. Thank God for the Sunday school air. And I'm going to say this, and I do mean it. I ain't trying to make nobody be nothing. We're all real little, and Christ is real big around here. But I'm going to tell you, I would to God that somebody would have said what Josh said in Sunday school when I was a young Christian and trying to figure out what it was to get anchored down in the Bible. I'd have took just about anything if somebody just took a Bible and said you don't have to go based on how you feel or based on anything like that. But here's what the Bible says, and you can know. You can know, you can know, you can know. And I'm sure glad, thank God, I know. Amen. I'm glad for that. I'm telling you, what a blessing. Book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few verses. You pray and ask God to help us this morning. I'll try not to preach long. I don't even know if I can. I'm telling you, God just helping me. I thank God for obedience to the Holy Ghost of God. Bible says this in verse number 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say. Said, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention." Verse 4, he says, "Therefore the law is slack, judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." Verse 5, he said, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you." He said, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march forth through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling place that are not theirs." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, I thank you one more time. Father, I pray that you'd help us already to treasure up this morning in our heart. Oh God, I pray that you'd put that in there real deep. Father, where the devil can't mine it out. I want to thank you, Lord, for letting me be around. Oh God, such one. wonderful folks that provoke us to love and to worship. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for these good people that you let me preach to. And to God, I pray for a few minutes of time that you'd help us to encourage the discouraged. Oh God, I pray for a few moments of time. I pray that you'd help us to challenge. Oh God, those that, Father God, they may be just going their own way. And Father, I pray for those that are lost. And may this be the day that they turn their eyes to Calvary and be saved. Oh God, I need your help. And if there's ever a time, and God, I wanted you to come by and to touch us afresh this morning. And Father, I sure need it now. I pray, God, you'd help my lips not to be tinkling cymbals and nor sounding brass, but to say only what you'd have us to. And to God, it is real in my heart. And to God, I want to say one more time. And Father, not out of lip service or repetitiveness, but God, out of the sincerest desire of my heart. I pray, God, you'd help me if this is the last time that I ever get to say anything about you. And God, I pray that you'd help me to say the best thing that I ever have said about the one that's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, Lord, I love you and I bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to say this to you, friend. Again, just been digging around a little bit into these minor prophets. And why we call them minor, it's not because their message was small or what they had to say wasn't important, but simply their writings were shorter than the other writings. But we find in this book of Habakkuk that there's a mighty lot of faith to unpack. Let me say this to you in verses 1 through 4. And what I find is Habakkuk is struggling because there is an unheard prayer. Essentially what Habakkuk is saying, if I could put it in my own words this morning, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, where are you? And why ain't you doing something? Amen. And I'm sure there's been many of us today that have prayed that very same prayer. And we've said, God, we're talking to you, and we're praying about it, but you don't seem to be nowhere. I don't seem to be doing nothing. Amen. But oh, listen, I want you to notice. In verse number 5, we find, and only 1 through 4, there's an unheard prayer. But in verse 5, we find an unbelievable plan. This is what God's answer was. He said, I will work a work. In other words, what he's saying is this. He said, I am doing something. You just ain't seeing it. Amen. I want to say this to you. Thank God. Even when it looks like God ain't doing nothing, he's still doing something. Amen. And then we find this right after what happened. He begins to show it in verses 6 through 11. And essentially what he says is this. Oh, Habakkuk is saying, God, I sure wish you'd send us revival. And God said, be careful what you wish for. Instead of sending them revival in verses 6 through 11. And God said, I'm not sending you revival. And what I'm going to do is send you judgment. Amen. And sometimes, listen, I want you to hear me. And what we think our land needs is revival. But maybe what it needs is the judgment of God. Amen. I'll tell you, dear friend, whenever the judgment of God falls on a place, it's amazing how many folks all of a sudden get real serious and want to turn back to God. Amen. I'm saying this simply. Habakkuk did not like the response that he got. He said, God, you ain't nowhere. And God said, I am too. He said, you ain't doing nothing. He said, I am too. He said, God, send revival. And God said, no revival, just judgment. Amen. And you say, what Habakkuk say? He goes on to say, and yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And you say, what happened? Even though nobody else was going to have revival, oh, Habakkuk did. Amen. Here's what I'm interested in preaching. At verse number 5, notice this. Here's how he says it. He said, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. He said, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe. He said, though it be told you. And so essentially what Habakkuk says is this. God looks at Habakkuk and he said, you wouldn't believe me about what I'm doing even if I told you. Amen. And if the Lord help me, I want to preach on that thought. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. Amen. I would not believe me if if I told you, amen. And we find all through the scripture, it's an awful lot of time. And thank God that God has done something and God has said something and nobody believed him, even though he told it to them, amen. But I want you to listen, dear friend. I want to just focus for a few minutes of time on the goodness of God out of this text of scripture. I thought about this. If we were to just step back for a second, and I would go around every person in this room and to just stop and think about where you're standing at right now. I promise you this, where you're at right now, how you got there, ain't nobody would believe you if you told them, amen. I mean, listen, thank God, friend, I can sit around where I'm sitting at today and get to talking about some things that God's done in my life, and I don't have to put on, I don't have to sensationalize the story. I'm telling you, God's been good to me, amen. And to thank God, listen, if I were to tell you just how good he's been, you would not even believe me if I told you, amen. But I got thinking about this. If the Lord helped me for a few minutes, I got thinking about some different folks that maybe would say the same thing this morning. I thought if I were to pass by at the palace of David sometime, I mean back in David's time when David is sitting as a king upon his throne. If I was to pass by his house and go in there, you understand that every morning and every evening that they would have a big long meal. There'd be a table that was there. And all the sons of David, they would present themselves in that place. And listen, friend, they come up. All the sons sit all the way down through there. Maybe one day, Brother Delmer, I'll walk in. I say, well, there's half of David's sons. And then you look over there yonder in the seat. And you say, there's a feller sitting there. And I ain't never seen him sitting there before. And you say, David, he don't even look like you. He don't look like one of your wives. Who's that feller sitting right there? And David might look over and say, well, his name's Mephibosheth. I'd say, okay. Well, how you doing, Mephibosheth? I'd say, Mephibosheth, you understand you're sitting where the king's son sat. I thank God, I want to know how'd you get there. I'm sure old Mephibosheth would say, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, amen. I want to say this, friend, that sometimes when we sit here and we get to sit in the goodness of God, you wouldn't believe us if we told you how we got here, amen. I'd say, Mephibosheth, tell me about it. And Mephibosheth would tell us today that his story did not begin with him sitting at the king's table. But you understand way back there in the 2 Kings, 2 Samuel rather chapter 4, and we find there was a day that Saul and his daddy Jonathan, they went out for battle and they died. Listen, it's all over for him. And that old maid picked him up in her arms and she took off running. And what we find is that he came up and he was lame, amen. I'd say, hey, Mephibosheth, how'd you get here? I'd say, listen, I had 3 strikes against me. At number one, I came from a dead lineage. And my daddy was dead. And my granddaddy was dead. And whenever the next king took the throne, guess what was going to happen to me? I was going to be dead too, amen. And so he'd say something like this. I had a dead lineage. And not only was I dead based on my lineage, but he was dead based on his lameness. He didn't have nowhere to run to, amen. How could I say to you tonight, it's a mighty good place to be in your life when you get to a place where you ain't got no place else to go and you ain't got no place else to run. And thank God God's on your trail, friend. And when you stop trying to run away from God and you start running to him, amen. That's a mighty good place to be. I'd see you say, strike one. Hey, thank God my daddy's lineage. And strike two. And the lameness, I'm in a dead place. And then strike number 3. He's got a dead lineage. He's got a dead lameness. And he's in a dead location. He said, I'm down here in Lodabar. And if something don't happen, this is a land of no pasture. It ain't going to take very long. I'm going to starve out right here where I'm at. In other words, listen, life was pretty rough for old Mephibosheth. He didn't have much of a future. Everything he had done was looking pretty bad. He saw death on every hand. He didn't have nobody to turn to. As a matter of fact, he wasn't looking for nobody to turn to. He was doing the best he could just to put his head down and hide. I read this about Lodabar. It said Lodabar was still in the kingdom of David, but it was on the outskirts. He had gotten just about as far as he could away from the king. He David standing in that place, thank God. And he thought, well, nobody will find me here. Yeah, but I'm sure glad, thank God. And there came a time in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And when David said, is there any yet of the house of Jonathan? And that I might, or the house of Saul, and that I might show him kindness. And for Jonathan's sake. And say, how'd you get here? And say, I don't know, amen. I was dying, I was in a dying place. I had a dying condition. I had no future, I had no joy. Am I preaching to anybody right here, right there? I mean, thank God, listen. Hey, you say, preacher, I can't relate. Well, I'm glad I can, amen. Thank God, listen. I didn't have nothing good to look forward to. When the sun was shining, it was still cloudy. Hey, listen, there was a constant cloud over his soul. That as sure as the new king found him, he was going to be dead. And I love how my Bible says it. The word of God does not say he was summoned. It does not say he was wooed. Thank God, listen. David says to Ziba, he says, go down there and fetch him. Amen. Man, I like that terminology. He said, go fetch him. And you say, preacher, he wasn't a dog. He was in his eyes. He said, am I a dead dog? Amen. I'm sure glad, thank God, I preached this years ago here. I'm sure glad the king likes to play fetch with an old dead dog. Amen. And I'm still happy about it today. Amen. I mean, what about somebody that would come down to you and I where we didn't have no hope, I didn't have no future, I didn't have nothing else to look forward to. And one day, there was a knock on that door. Thank God, thank God. And you say, preacher, was it the king? Oh, no, it was Ziba, amen. It was old Ziba. And you say, he's nobody important. Oh, thank God, he's the go-between. He's the one that goes to where you're at, and he brings you to where the king is. Thank God, listen. I'm sure glad for that blessed day. And when the Holy Ghost of God came by my way, and when I had no hope, and when I had no future, and when everything around me was dead, or it was dying. And thank God, I'm glad. And I heard the good news. It was somebody that loved me. Amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. Thank God. I can see old Mephibosheth sitting there down in that place of Lodabar. I mean, listen, every day. I mean, it don't look no better for him. He's not nobody coming to visit him. He's not nobody loving on him. He don't have a trust fund. He don't have somebody coming down there to carry him where he's a-going. But oh, thank God. Hey, you say, preacher, how'd he get to where he was a-going? I imagine the king put him on his chariot. Hey, listen, thank God, come down there. He could no doubt hear all the footprints and the hoofprints of the horses as they come down to where he's at. I'm sure there was something on the inside of his heart that started getting nervous. And when he found out who was there, he thought, oh no, and my life's over. And death has come a reality. But surprise, surprise, surprise. And thank God the king did not come to kill him. And the king came to give him life. Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. I'm not sad about what Christ has done. I thank God for it. Everybody in this room, hey, listen, look up here and smile at me right there. Everybody in this room was in a dead place. You had a dead lineage. It came from the wrong person. Hey, you're living in a dead place. This world is going to burn. Hey, listen, you're in a dead state. Everybody had a state of lameness where you had no hope, had no way to get anywhere, had no way to get in. Hey, you say, preacher, what do we do? I just stayed put until the gospel came to where I was. Amen. Oh, thank God, I'm saying this. And you say, oh, listen, I love how he says it. And you know, he fetches him up there and he brings him up to it. And what he finds out is this, as there was a covenant that was made long before he was alive. Hey, thank God. Oh, Jonathan must have knew. I mean, according to the scripture, that day David was going to be king. And he said to David, he said, whenever the Lord God hath eradicated all of your enemies, he said, I want you to remember my family. I want you to remember my family. And he said, be real kind to them for my sake. And I don't know if I get excited, but watch this. This is what happened, Sam. Oh, Mephibosheth got in, and not for his own sake. He got in for Jonathan's sake. Amen. And you say, preacher, I don't understand why that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. Hey, you don't get into heaven for your own sake. How you get into heaven for Christ's sake. Amen. How you get born again for Christ's sake. And the only way you get in is by Christ's sake. Amen. Oh, thank God. I'm glad there was a covenant. I'm glad that I was cut in on it. But listen, here's the good part. And this is what confuses me sometimes about why I am a preacher. And thank God it wasn't just good. And when he found out he wasn't going to die, it was good when he found out he was getting a better life than he ever had before. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of things that might swell up in our hearts sometimes. But you'll not never convince me that I'd ever want to trade a life with a Hell's Angel fella. Amen. I don't want to trade lives with somebody. I don't want to trade lives with LeBron James. Hey, I sure wouldn't want to trade lives with Kim Kardashian or any of the rest of them folks. Amen. I've done you, thank God, have a Christian. God has been so good to us that it'd be a shame, amen, for us to even think about going anywhere else. I'm saying this, listen. He said, I don't want you just to have it. He restored him everything Saul had. He said, I'm going to give you everything that your granddaddy couldn't give you. That king could give it, amen. And then he said this. He said, I want you to sit down, I thank God, at my table as one of the king's sons and eat continually. That's a pretty big deal, amen. That's a God of glory that would let somebody like me and you, thank God, come down and visit at his table and just sit down and say, what'd you do to get here? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. I didn't do nothing, amen. I didn't do nothing, thank God. Oh, listen, these folks, they'll say, hey, what'd you do to do this? What'd you do to do that? I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, amen. I'd say, how'd you get there? Hey, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. My journey has started way back before I was alive, amen. I'm glad, thank God, I had somebody that would take me to the house of God where I could hear the word of God. And on July 2nd, 1988, I'm telling you, everything changed in my life. And when Christ as a 7-year-old boy had put me in the family of God, I'm telling you, friend, right then, I could have checked out of here and said, man, God's been good to me. But I'm telling you this for a fact, 38 years later, God keeps getting better and better and better. And I'm telling you, you wouldn't even believe me if I tried to tell you, amen. I know how it is, thank God. I get up and sometimes get to rejoicing. And these folks look around and they say, I wonder if that's real. They'll say, I wonder if that really happened. I wonder if that really happened. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to listen to me. Not only did it really happen, but I can't even tell it like it did happen. Amen. That's what's so good about Christ. He's been so good to us, thank God. You can't even fathom how God really did do it. How I know this. I was there, and now I'm here. Amen. And the only thing I can tell you is I got from there to here by the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe if I told you. I got thinking about this. Listen, I thought about in this text. You wouldn't believe me if I told you about the work of Christ for you. But then secondly, I want to say this. You wouldn't believe me if I told you about the work of Christ on you. Amen. I mean, listen, I get thinking about this. Don't nobody get too happy. I mean, listen, I don't know what to, here's what I got thinking about, but I want you to listen. It's amazing how many folks in the house of God, and we probably feel like perpetual failures. Amen. If I were to, and you say, not me, preacher, I'm succeeding in every aspect of life. Well, you need to be teaching and preaching, and I need to be listening. Amen. I'm saying this. There's an awful lot of Christians. Hey, brother, they want to have joy, but they spend their life feeling like that they perpetually have failed God. But oh, listen, I passed by a man one day. I mean, by the eye of faith. I went by one of my favorite places in the Bible at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And I look over yonder and I see old Peter. And I say, Peter, how did you get here? And Peter would have said this. You wouldn't believe me if I told you, amen. I mean, thank God you wouldn't believe. How you wouldn't believe what happened. How you wouldn't believe me how I got here. How you wouldn't believe how it looked. How you say, preacher, why? It's hard to imagine. As somebody having as much victory as Peter had. And when just 53 days later, it was a big place of defeat. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God. At Matthew chapter 27, he has failed the Lord. He's denied he even knows it. And thank God, listen. I mean, I'm talking about it don't get worse than that. And there's a crowd, listen. I talked to a fellow one time. I said, how far do you got to go before you get kicked out? And he said, you have to deny the faith. I said, you mean like Peter did in Matthew 27? Yeah, but thank God he's still in. He's still in. Hey, look up here at me. He's still in. Amen. At Matthew chapter 27, he don't just deny the faith. He denies he knows Christ. That is apostasy as bad as it's ever got. But I want to tell you this. What Peter did then, that did not change what Christ said in Matthew chapter 16. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. That did not change what Christ had said. Oh, listen to me, friend. It's sometimes hard to see victory. And whenever I'm talking about you in such a place of defeat, amen. I mean, these folks here right now, thank God. And I wish sometimes some of them would testify. But thank God, listen. They've now came through that defeat. And they're standing there with arms upraised. And you reckon, look up here. You reckon Miss Irene's always shouted like that. You reckon it's always been real good for Brother Delmer. How there's been times of defeat in their life. And you wouldn't believe. How you wouldn't believe. Thank God. Even if they told you, that's just the great work that God's done for them. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm talking about this. There's a work that God's doing on us, and sometimes that work's mighty hard to see, ain't it? Amen. I thought about Peter over there. And whenever Peter, it's hard to imagine. I stand there and I say, hey, Peter. I mean, listen, he's standing there, thank God. 3,000 heads bowed. 3,000 lives changed. And there's a reason for that that's bigger than you or I know. And if God will help me, I'll tell you about it in a minute. And if he don't, I won't, all right? But I'm going to tell you this, thank God he's standing there that day. And say, oh, Peter, hey, man, you sure look like you've always been faithful. Hey, you must have always been as faithful as anybody ever has been to the Lord. And old Peter would have said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Hey, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But just a few short days ago, I told the Lord I was done. I told the other disciples I'm going fishing. And they went with me. I said, thank God I'm tired of this. I throwed in the towel. I thank God put up his Bible. I said, I ain't going to preach no more. I ain't going to say nothing for God. I believe I'll just go back fishing. And what I want to tell you this, and you listen to me. If you've ever walked with the shepherd as a lamb, you'll never be satisfied going back to the lake as a fisherman. If I ain't going to listen, I don't care what you do. It don't make any difference. I say, oh, Peter, you mean you ain't always been faithful? Maybe this don't help you none. But it sure helps me, thank God. And to understand that one of the greatest men in your Bible, it wasn't always one of the greatest men in your Bible. It was a time that he was not very faithful. He said, I go fishing. But I'm glad, thank God, even when he was going fishing, Christ was still going catching, amen. And there is a difference. And Peter ended up with nothing, and Christ ended up with everything. And listen, you know what Christ done for him that day? This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but it's making me pretty happy. I'm about to get all worked up my own self. I'm telling you what Christ showed him is on your own, you can't do nothing. But with me, thank God, you can bring in more than you ever had your whole life, amen. Oh, listen. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, I just see old Peter standing there. Hey, Peter, listen, you don't understand, Peter's a real man, amen. And I'm sure when that 3,000 souls get saved, hey, Peter's probably as surprised as anybody else is. He's like, my goodness, I didn't know that was a coming. I didn't know where that came from. And just the other day I was unfaithful. And just the other day I had apostatized. I'm going to tell you this, thank God, it's hard to see how full Peter was when just a little bit earlier he was awful empty, amen. I feel like this, listen, you know what I feel like? You ever start preaching to folks, and I mean probably most of you ain't, but you've talked to them, and thank God, listen, and somewhere behind there you see that there's nothing. I mean there's nothing. And there's nothing right there. Hey, you know why that is, thank God? That's because they're empty, amen. Hey, listen, look up here at me. Hey, you can have the biggest wallet in the world. Hey, you can go buy every toy you want, and you're still going to be empty, amen. I mean, look here, friend. Hey, your 401k can triple overnight, and you're still going to be empty. Hey, you can walk out of this place and get the best of everything and still be empty, amen. Oh, Peter cast that net over, and the Bible said he caught nothing, amen. His net was empty. Hey, you know why it was empty? He wasn't supposed to be a fisherman no more. And thank God, God said, I ain't going to give you no fish. How about I'm going to give you 3,000 sheep, amen. Oh, thank God. And the reason some folks are miserable is they ain't never traded professions yet. How about if you'll ever trade professions, ever understand that the joy's no longer in the world, that the joy's no longer in the things of the world, but only in Christ, and you'll get to a place where, thank God, somebody will say, how'd you get here? And you'll say, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, amen. Oh, yes, listen. I'm sure, thank God, look here. All I know is this. If I were to go by, probably, I'll say this. There's some folks in here, and I want to go on record and say I thank God for them. I mean, they've been faithful ever since they've been saved. They ain't never been no mistakes, had no missteps. I mean, nothing to write about. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, but they sometimes in my life, and if you could go back and I could pick out some days for you, and you'd say, how did you get from there to here? I just have to tell you, you wouldn't believe me if I even told you, amen. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. I promise you this, that whenever they was a voting on class, how one of those things called, you know, at the end of the school year, when they say most likely to succeed, superlatives. Whenever they go through those superlatives, if they went back to 1999 at Scott High and said, who's most likely in here to preach? Kevin Sexton would have been the last on the list. But surprise, 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 God's always doing more than what you can imagine. And you say, preacher, how'd you end up there? I don't know, thank God. I just knew there came a time, I'm being honest. This ain't preaching, I'm testifying now. I've been as honest with you as I know how. At 18 years old, I stood at the place where two crossroads met. And I understood in this. I understood every person that I ever say go the way of the world. And they all seemed to me miserable. And every person I seen go with God, how they seemed to have joy. And standing outside of a church one night, I said, Lord, I'm casting my lot in. I don't know what this looks like, but I want to go where you're at. And somehow or another, I ended up where I'm at now by the good grace of God. Amen. Oh, yes, listen. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe me if I told you, thank God. Wouldn't believe me if I told you. Hey, saints, sometimes I preach standing here, Jess, and I know some of our folks think it's a little hard. I understand that. Look up here at me, young people. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I promise you that. And there was a time, as an 18-year-old boy, I said this. I said, listen, if it costs, here's what would happen. Davis, you listen to me. Owen, listen to me. Eli, Jasper, you fellas sitting up here, listen to me. Thank God it's mighty hard to go on for Christ if everybody around you is going after the world, amen. You say, preacher, I'm going to win them. It won't happen. It won't happen. I'm telling you, thank God, if everybody around you is going for the world, I'm telling you, it's a matter of time before you go the same way they go. And so thank God I went in. And my mom and daddy's not here this morning.
but they bear this witness. I said, God, if it costs me every friend I've got, if I don't have no friends, I want to have you. Had to look here, good neighbor. I mean, look, this is my, I'm testifying right now. I went probably a year. I didn't have one friend. I didn't have no calls. I didn't have no texts. I didn't have nobody to do nothing with. You say, what'd you have? I had this right here. This is what I had. This is what I had. Hey, I'll tell you what I found out. This was enough. Amen. This was enough. Thank God. And listen, friend, it might cost you a little bit, but here I stand where I stand today. And by the grace of God, He's given me more than I ever lost. Amen. Oh, yes. Right now, you look at your net. You say, preacher, it looks awful empty right now. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. God's probably just working on you. Amen. God's probably working on you. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, thank God Stephen, Deanna, keep sending Bibles to California. You may, listen, you may die. You may depart out of this life and never see not one ounce of fruit in that. But I'm telling you, thank God, you can't put something as powerful as a King James Bible in a place as dark as that and it not bring forth life. Amen. Say, how'd you get here? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. Wouldn't believe. I'm going to testify. I probably told some of you this in private. If he gets mad at me, he'll just have to get mad at me at our church. Brother Creston Burke called me. That's not who's going to get mad at me. It'll be Steve. Brother Creston called me. He said, hey, I'm sending some Californians out your way. Met them down wherever he met them. I said, this is going to go great. You know, I'm the kind of preacher that Californians like. Everybody understands that. I mean, Tennesseans don't even like the way I preach, let alone Californians. And I said, that's fine. I said, that's fine. This will be a one-stop trip. They'll come. They'll listen to preaching one time. They'll say we're all three corners crazy. And they'll go find them someplace down the road that's not like this. But little did I know as I was driving down the road, they said, God, send us a place where there's a preacher that's preaching on hell, fire, and damnation. And now, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you were to ask him how he got here, if you were to ask her how they got where they got, you wouldn't even believe them if they told you, amen. Just God. See, you wouldn't believe the work that He's done for you. You wouldn't believe the work that He's done on you. I'm going to say this. You wouldn't believe Him if He told you the work He's doing with you. Amen. Let's look up here. The devil tries to minimize so many people's work in the house of God. And I want you to listen to me, and I want you to hear me well. No, don't never doubt what I'm telling you. They say, I passed by a kingdom one day and I noticed that it used to be the kingdom of God. Now, it's a kingdom that don't belong to it. It's a kingdom where there's some Persians that's taken over. I mean, it's a place, thank God, where we see a different king on the throne. And that king's got a different bride, but his bride, I mean, his bride ain't what she's supposed to be. So, and the king puts his bride away, and there comes a search out for a new one. Oh, listen, I pass by the throne. I see a lady sitting there named Esther. I say, Esther, how did you get here? And she'd say, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, there was a time in Esther's life. And when I say, Esther, what does your life look like? She'd say, it's one tragedy after another. I had to endure the death of my parents. I've had to endure the destruction of my nation. I've had to endure the decree of a king. That's going to cost me my life. And I'd say, well, how in the world did you survive all that? And she would have said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God, there came a point in time that when by the divine providence of God, that God had placed her. Everybody look up here. If you ain't looking, listen, nothing else. I want you to listen to me real carefully right now. I believe it is by divine providence and that every one of us are where we are at the time that we're at and for a season just like this. I just say, oh, preacher, listen. Hey, you say, you really believe that? I believe it more than I could ever tell you. I believe, thank God, that I've sat right where I've sat at, and I've watched God do things in this place where even if I were to write them down and try to explain them to you, if God himself, Brother Cliff, if God himself, I won't never forget. I'll never forget that night we sat out there with that telescope, and old Cliff showed us at those two places, Jupiter and whatever else, or Saturn or wherever else it was. And the Brother Cliff got up here and he got to talking about how we can see something that God is so big that no matter how far we see, and that there he is. And then Cliff got to teaching about on the other side, no matter how small you go, and guess who's still there too, amen. I mean, listen, I believe it's by the providence of God that every step of our life, God's not just done a work for us and on us, but God is doing a work with us, amen. I want to tell you that this, I just got thinking about things. It's amazing how God can take every tragedy that's happened in our life. There's some people, look up here. Hey, some people, you understand. I wish Keith, Lord help us. It hurt my heart when you told me that this morning. And I thought, man, there's a whole section. And I've said this to Brother Kevin and Barbara Jo. Seem like they've had an awful lot of suffering in the last year. Seem like they've had maybe more than the rest of us has had. At least more than I've had, I'll say it like that. And man, I find myself like a backache, Jess, saying, God, where are you? Why ain't you doing something? But then I got verse 5.
Yeah.
God said, I am doing something,
right.
And you don't understand
that's
it.
Right.
And even if I told you what I was doing, you still couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
It's so amazing that God is so eternal that even if he were to explain to us how he's using every tragedy in our lives, every failure and every mistake, how God is recycling all of that for the glory to his name. Even if he were to tell us how he's doing it, we'd still look back and say, God, I don't know how you're doing that, thank God. You'll never believe it. He could tell you.
Yeah.
You'd never believe it. Say, why? Here's why. Only God can take tragedy and bring some of the greatest triumphs that the world's ever seen through them. Only God can take beauty and take all the ashes that you offer him, and the Bible says trades you out beauty for those ashes. Only God can walk up to an ugly scene like in John 11 when somebody's dead and life stinks. Only God can say, listen, I know what you all think is that Lazarus dying and I failed and this looks bad. But what you all don't understand is this has been a set up job from the very beginning. I needed him to die. I needed him to stay dead for 4 days. I needed everybody to be gathered around. And I'm going to give the nation of Israel one more shot to realize that I am who I say I am. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this. It's mighty amazing, but it's a thought to think. You say, preacher, I'm not doing anything. My life don't matter none. I'm going to tell you this. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. It is an absolute amazing thing how God can take every temporary person in here and do an eternal work with them. It's a mighty big deal.
Yep.
Say, preacher, if you only knew where I was standing at right now, I'm done preaching, but I'm going to say this. I'm done. But I'm going to say this. Teresa, I'm done preaching. Brother Rick, I want to say this. One day, Amy, I don't know if God will do this, but I hope he will. I hope one day God will let Amazing Grace get together on that fair shore of Jordan.
Boy.
Heaven's bright shore. Brother Delmer, maybe he gathers us all together. He said, listen, now standing in the light of eternity, no longer, Ty, looking through a glass darkly, but now face to face. Now not knowing in part, but knowing even also as you're known. When God imparts through the light of eternity every good thing he's ever done, say, what about it now? Would you have believed me if I'd have told you? And I believe we'll all step back and look back over our lives and say, God, God, I didn't know that's what you done for me.
Nope.
I didn't know right there that's what you was doing on me.
Nope.
God, I did not know right there that's what you was doing with me. I'm going to tell this, and I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to say it, and I'll be done. I'll never forget one of the times little Evan was a baby, Davis was a baby. I had to go preach one time at Church Hillenwood on a Wednesday night. And I got up there, and I literally, Brother Jerry, I had a bottle sticking it in Evan's mouth while I had a Bible opened up, and I was trying to teach. I still remember where I was at, Isaiah chapter number 40. They that wait upon the Lord. Oh, what a scripture. Hallelujah. I might preach on that right now. But boy, I was sticking that. And I remember walking out of that place, Joe. Whenever I walked out of that place, I thought, God, what a failure. God, that's the worst. I didn't make no coherent sense. I lost my notes somewhere and trying to take care of my kid. Everybody was talking and screaming. I thought, this is the craziest service I've ever been a part of. I thought, Lord, I ain't even sure if I'm called to preach. I went home, just cried. And about a year later, as a couple came up to me out of that church, and the Lord knows them, he came up and he said, I know you don't know this. He said, but me and my wife showed up at church that night. He said, the next day we was going to get a divorce. He said, we said, we're going to give God one more chance. One more chance. And he said, I said, what night was that? What night was that? It had to be a night, Josh, that glory was falling. It had to be a night where we were shouting. Had to be a night where the spirit was real high. And God was doing something real special, Chase. That had to be the kind of night it was. And he said, no, you remember it was that night you had that baby and you kept apologizing? I said, yeah. I said, how did you get anything out of that message? And he said, you said the only words we need to hear, wait on the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I said, all that, God knows. I didn't say none of that because I'm nothing. Lord knows my heart right now. I'm trying to tell you, if you only realized right where you was at in your life and what God's going to do with you, you wouldn't even believe him if he told you. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I don't know where you're at.